Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
This is episode 365. Welcome back to the show. This week, I am coming to you from the Grand Lodge sessions of the Grand Lodge of the State of Illinois. I am sitting in my hotel room at a very nice desk. I've got my iPad in front of me, brought a small selection of choice spirits, some absinthe, some fine scotch, and some whiskey, just in case anybody does not enjoy the other two. But what an incredible day, a first start to the Grand Lodge sessions for the state of Illinois. My day started at 6 a.m., and I got a hot shave in and threw my clothes on, and my wife dropped me off at the local metro station. I took about an hour and 10 minutes to get down to Union Station in Chicago. And beautiful Union Station is so amazing. Anytime we go there, there's certainly an air of old-timiness. I don't know really quite how to explain it, but it's a building that gives you the feeling of grandness that we once had within the United States in terms of our buildings and travel. And myself, including five or six other close friends and brothers, including my very close friends, Brother Scott Duball, Spencer Hammond, and Julian Rojas, we all took the business class car down to Springfield, Illinois, about a 3.5-4 hour drive. And we just had a really great time conversing with our brothers, chit-chatting about a few other things that were really not Masonic. In fact, on the way down here, I managed to play a game of Risk with Julian Rojas, who, although is not proficient or an expert by any means at Risk, destroyed me quite promptly. It was a good match. So hats off to Julian for being a wonderful world domination expert. And we got into town here at around 1:30 this afternoon, and it was interesting to see the town before the storm of Masons, the calm before the storm. A really interesting time to spend walking around the city. A couple of really wonderful used bookstores, record stores even. Scott Duball bought a few records, which were fantastic. Actual long play records. After that, we headed over and we went into the Grand Lodge Convention Center, where they're going to be holding the session starting tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. We took a look around, just to get familiar with our surroundings again, and then we went downstairs and checked out a few of the vendors who hadn't quite finished up yet. We had our good friends of McCoy who were already there setting up. The brother who runs the McCoy booth, I'm sure if you've ever been to Grand Lodge sessions, you've run into him before. Fantastic. The guy can give you a review, a personal review of any book that he sells. So McCoy's is always really happening and really knows their stuff. So a shout out to those guys. Brother Carlos Hernandez of Ascended Masters. You guys know and probably love his stuff all over Facebook. The guy's got more followers than most Masonic organizations have. The guy's phenomenal. The guy is wonderful. Travels around the world and brings us some great cool products. So just a shout out to Brother Carlos for setting up. He'll be at Grand Lodge Sessions. I think he probably got in this evening and set up after we left. But then we went over to the Grand Master's Banquet, which was pretty rad. Grand Master's wife did a nice theme this year, and it was pretty classy. It was a really good time. The band that played was playing some really nice jazz music, and just an all-around great experience. We got to... It's a wonderful time to talk to our brothers and be on the level and expose our ideas and to absorb the ideas from our senior Grand Lodge officers and to just talk and really be on the level. And we had a wonderful time. I got to speak with the Grand Master of the state of Indiana, which was one of the highlights of the evening. Of course, no less special was talking to our own Greg Clark, Grand Master, who has been so gracious in Illinois Freemasonry in a lot of what he has done for the craft here in just this first year. And now I'm back at the hotel room and it's quiet. Scott went over to a cigar lounge. He's going to have a scotch and a cigar. And here I am sitting at this desk talking into a voice recorder that is on a small tripod, sitting in front of my iPad and staring over at the TV wondering if I'm going to play my Super Nintendo this evening while I sip a beverage. And I think I will likely end up doing that once a few people stop by the room.
The Whence Came You podcast is brought to you through the generous support of Masonic Revival, contemporary Masonic designs made for today's Freemason. You don't have to settle for throwing a plain old square and compass on anything anymore. Now you get something truly designed and truly wonderful. Whether it's aprons, awesome pins, and wonderful neckwear, bow ties, ties, pocket squares, you name it, Masonic Revival has it. Head on over to MasonicRevival.com and check out what they have to offer. And make sure if you see Brother Edgar, tell him thanks for helping bring this program to all of you. And this program is also brought to you by all of you, those of you who support this program. We can't do it without you and your donations and all of your assistance, so thank you so much. To find out more about how you can assist this program, head on over to WCYpodcast.com and click on Support the Show. There you can make direct donations, sign up to be a monthly contributor, a fellow, or even a producer. And thanks very much to everybody for donating. So it's the next day, I'm back in my room. You're probably wondering, did people come over and have some cocktails and things? Of course, we had a great session of Super Nintendo talking philosophy, and I'm sure that Brother Wilmshurst would have approved of our conversation, which was essentially the meaning of Masonry. Today, we had a wonderful day going to the Grand Lodge sessions this morning. I was able to connect with Brother Carlos Hernandez of Alter Ego, and we also had talked for a little while. Got some great travel tips from him and his wife, so if you guys are looking for how to travel, be sure to follow him on Instagram, Ascended Masters, and just check out some of the pictures he posts from around the world. It's pretty exciting. This afternoon, we went to a great session at the Illinois Lodge of Research. We handled a little bit of business, but the gem of the meeting was something that I was a little upset about. We got too much business, and the Illinois Lodge of Research's presenter was a brother named Gerald Fortune, and he presented on a wonderful topic about crystals and kind of the healing attributes of crystals, and he studied the topic pretty extensively, and he was so genuine, I had to ask him if he would come on the show at some point. So we're going to have Brother Gerald Fortune on at some point in the future. I was really kind of upset that we just didn't have enough time for him to finish his presentation. They cut it short. I feel terrible that they had to cut him short, but I just thought it was a great presentation. So, Brother Gerald, if you're listening to this program, wonderful, and I can't wait to get you on. I think the rest of our listeners, it's been a little bit since we've had an esoteric kind of episode, and I think Brother Gerald will bring something really special to a program sometime in the future. But as for me, it is time to go enjoy some additional fellowship and meet up with my brothers. So until the next segment. Well, I am home from the Illinois Grand Lodge sessions. I know I didn't get any interviews the whole time I was there. I was a little bummed out about that. We had a lot of work to do on the train on the way down, and we just kept busy. We did start the pre-sale of the WCY podcast producers pins. If you would like to get yourself a brand new pin, then head on over to our website where we have the pre-sale going on right now, and I will ship them as soon as they come in. And I hope you will take advantage of the pre-sale so that you can be among the first people to receive the brand new pin. In addition to the slight coverage of the Illinois Grand Lodge sessions, I did have two things for you this week. We have a new Masonic Minute done by a brother who is not Stephen L. Harrison. Illustrious Brother Harrison had a friend of his do a Masonic Minute segment, and so we'll go into that right after this. And following that, we have a short piece for you, and then we'll wrap up. But just once more, just to reminisce a little bit about this year's Grand Lodge sessions, it was conducted with great civility this year. I have to mention that because so many years we go down there and people get hot and heated and they start yelling, and there's hooting and hollering, and it gets a little wild. This year, it seems that our brethren have been conscious and have maintained a brotherly attitude, which was really awesome. We had some heated topics this year, including a per capita increase. Can you believe that? And we passed it. After 5 years, we passed a $5 increase, which was well needed. It's not going to fix the issue of a shortage on operational funding, but we will be able to lessen the gap between running in the red and running in the black. So very much appreciated to all the brothers out there who voted yay for the per capita increase. Of course, I can't vote. Illinois, the only people who can vote in Grand Lodge sessions are the people who are the Worshipful Master, Senior and Junior Wardens, and that's the way it is here in Illinois. Also, past Grand Masters get a vote, and past Senior Grand Wardens also get a vote. I think actually anybody who's a Grand Lodge officer gets a vote, but I'm not entirely sure on that. For those members out there who are curious, you know, you heard 8 minutes at the top of the show about Grand Lodge sessions and all of that. What is that? Well, once a year, the constituency, or all of the Master Masons in the state, will convene or converge on a central location in the state where the Grand Lodge will meet. They will open and they will take up discussion on changes to bylaws and to things that have happened in the craft, and receive reports on foreign jurisdictions and who we recognize and who we don't recognize and all of these things. And it's really important. And it's a wonderful time to be able to expose yourself to the greater Masonic experience that is on the state level, and really see where the programs are going, the new programs that are coming out. There are usually leadership trainings and membership trainings and all of those things, so it's a good time to go. So without any further ado, let's get into this week's Masonic Minute, done by the friend of one illustrious brother, Stephen L. Harrison.
For this week's Masonic Minute, I'm going to turn things over to my good friend, Right Worshipful Brother Lloyd Lyon, Secretary of Hale City Lodge No. 216 in Hale, Missouri, who has something to say about a dot within a circle.
Dot in a circle. In Masonry, we often see, in reference to the certain point within a circle, bordered by two perpendicular lines representing St. John the Baptist and St. John the Evangelist, and upon the vertex of the circle rests the Holy Bible. The point represents the individual brother, and the circle represents the boundary line of his duty, beyond which he is never to suffer his passions, interests, or prejudices to betray him. In going around the circle, we necessarily touch on the two parallel lines as well as the Holy Scripture. When a Mason keeps himself within these due bounds, it is impossible that he should materially or spiritually fail as a child of God. We strive for perfection, but as humans we fall short of these expectations. According to the book of the law, as man we are bound to certain frailties and failures. This keeps us all from becoming ideal men and ideal Masons, no matter how hard we may try. We therefore hold for ourselves, as the perfect form or ideal of a Mason, the two holy Saints John. Here we have two Saints John, very properly described as parallel figures, both of great character and both projecting a strong influence with words, symbols, and life experiences on the civilized world. Yet they were so different, as Saint John the Baptist was very dogmatic and rigid, while the other, Saint John the Evangelist, intelligent and esoteric. In both we find the integrity and unwavering fidelity so common to Masonic teachings, but their manner of teaching, living, and preaching those virtues were as different as night and day, darkness and light. Even though we know they were not perfect, and probably were not Freemasons as we are defined today, what we know of them show them to be perfect examples of what a Freemason should be: kind, righteous, loving, passionate, zealous, filled with light, and above all, faithful unto death to the trust reposed in them. They are the Platonic form or ideal of the Freemasons, never to be achieved, but always to be emulated. With these patterns of reasoning, we can see the mythical lodge of the Holy Saint John at Jerusalem as a Platonic form or ideal of a Masonic lodge. It can and should exist in our ideal of what a lodge of Masons would be if all of its members achieved the ideal Masonic life of Saint John the Baptist, dogmatic and rigid, and represented by the square within an upside-down triangle, and St. John the Evangelist, intelligent and esoteric, and represented by the compasses within an upright triangle. Perhaps a modern Mason can even see that the ideal lodge, God is our master, the Saints John as wardens, and King Solomon as marshal, composing the leadership of the perfect lodge. But the symbol is not complete. We have found that the Holy Saints John in our Masonic symbol, but other parts are missing. This was the letter of God. During the ancient time, people were not allowed to spell out the word God, so they changed one letter, the word Yod. Let's now place the Yod symbol together with the square and compasses. Is this God in our Masonic symbol? Today we use the letter G to represent deity. The letter G also represents the Holy Scripture, the Word. The Word is God. The Word is our rule and guide to keep us within the circle, that boundary we are never to cross. Yet there is still something missing. What about that point we find in that circle? Why is it that we do not remember that point as our Masonic symbol? Have you forgotten? I would hope that everyone listening to this could answer that question. If not, look in a mirror. Look at that reflection of you. Do you not see that point? Every time you wear a Masonic pin, cap, shirt, jacket, tie, or ring, you become a part of the Masonic symbol. You are the completion of our Masonic symbol. Without you, the symbol would never be complete, the symbol would have no meaning, and the symbol would have no purpose. That point is the most important part of the symbolism of Freemasonry. You stand with God, the Word, and the Holy Saints John, the parallel lines within the circle. Be proud of your Masonic history. Be a player of and a contributor to the future of Freemasonry.
All right, so just have to say, huge thanks goes out to illustrious Brother Harrison for putting that audio together, and also to Right Worshipful Brother Lyon, who came on the program to do this really great piece. Definitely something to think about. We can't thank you guys enough for assisting and coming together to put that together. Now comes the point in the show where I ask you to help support this show. How do we do that? Well, we have a bunch of different ways to do that today. If you head on over to WCYpodcast.com, you can click on direct donation through PayPal, which we briefly touched on in the beginning of the program. Of course, you can make that one-time donation, or you can sign up to be a monthly contributor. Contributing $2 a month, $5, or even $10 a month, whatever you choose, really helps the program out. Of course, we have a limited edition shop where you can pick up any number of items that come direct from us. Help us out by going to MasonicRevival.com, but also we have some other affiliates that are really important. Bankers Best, one of the most unique things we've ever done, is to work with Brother Levi Banker out of St. Louis, who owns his own company called Bankers Best Beard and Skincare. He's been so generous. If you head to WCYpodcast.com, click on More, then click on Banker's Best, and you can check out a bunch of the different products he's got. He's got a whole line of beard care products, skin care, oils, balms, all of this stuff, and he has been doing it a long time. He knows a lot about it. Everything is handmade, quality items. We even came up with the King Solomon's Reserve Beard Balm, which is a few years old now, but remains one of the great products that he still offers. Even the artwork on the bottle was done by a brother. The nice thing about this particular product is 50% of the proceeds come back to the program. If you're a history guy like me, then you'll be pleased to know that what makes the beard oil and balm very special is that it was made utilizing the fragrances specific to the exports of King Solomon's time and location, which is amazing. So black fig and honey is the formula. Luxurious scent, as Levi says, truly fit for our first Grand Master. If you use the promo code BBWCY357 at checkout, you'll also get a little bit of a percentage off. Please check that out. Bankers Best, or just head on over to buybankersbest.com. We also have a code with On It. You can go to our website, click on More, then go to On It, and you can click through any of the links here, or just go to onit.com and use the promo code WCY at checkout. You'll get 10% off, and they'll send a little bit back to the program to help us out. And of course, it's business time. The book that I wrote with John T. Ruark, it is making some real waves, and people are using it, and Seeing Success. So check that out on Amazon. You can click right to it. You can get it on Audible, Kindle, or in print, even on iBooks. And last but not least, I want to ask you to check out the Great Books program. You'll see the banner for it on the left-hand side, Intellectual Linear Progression. Use the promo code WCY, or you can just click on that link there, and you'll actually go right to the website and hear a little bit from Scott Hambrick about how awesome the program is. So that's it. I hope you guys enjoy, and thank you so much for helping us out. So this week we're going to start a three-part series that came out in 1928 and 1929, and the first one is called The Mother Grand Lodge. It's titled A Short Talk Bulletin of the Masonic Service Association, so it's quite old. Again, 1928 for this one, December in fact. The three-part series is called The Mother Grand Lodge. So now we will read part one. It has often been remarked how casually, if not accidentally, so many great movements seem to start. They seem to spring up of themselves at the bidding of impulses of which men are only vaguely aware, and the full measure and meaning of which they do not know. As in the Alps, a shout or a report of a gun may start an avalanche of ice because of the poise of forces, so in history, a little act often releases a vast pent-up power. A perfect example is the revival of Masonry in 1717, revival is in quotes, which not only gave a new date to our annals, but a new form and force to the craft, sending it to the ends of the earth on its benign mission. So true is it that we may almost say that modern Masonry, in its origin and organization, is as much a mystery as ancient Masonry with its symbols and rites, and the mystery may never be solved. Out of a period of dim half-light and much obscurity, the new Masonry arose, and, knowing what it is, we have a keen curiosity to know how it came to be what it is. How many questions we are eager to ask, answers to which are not bound, or likely to be found, unless unguessed records should leap to light. Anyway, our brethren of those formative days practiced the Masonic virtues of silence and circumspection, to an extraordinary degree, telling us very little of what we should like to know so much. How many lodges of Masons existed in London at that time is a matter of conjecture, but there must have been a number. What tie, if any, united them for a common action and fellowship we do not know. Some were purely operative lodges, others seem to have been purely speculative. There were such lodges, such as the one in which Ashmole was initiated as early as 1646, while others, as we shall see, were mixed, made up of men, part of whom were accepted Masons and part actual working Masons. The craft, as all agree, was in a state of neglect, if not disintegration. It enjoyed a period of prosperity in the rebuilding of London after the Great Fire in 1666, but as we read in the only record we have, quote, the few lodges at London finding themselves neglected by Sir Christopher Wren thought it fit to cement under a Grand Master as the center of union and harmony, end quote. Wren was the great architect of the day, the builder of St. Paul's Cathedral. Whether he was actually a lodge member or not is uncertain, but such was the reason given for the forming of a Grand Lodge. Our great historian, in describing the quote-unquote assembly of 1717, out of which the first Grand Lodge grew, remarks that unfortunately the minutes of Grand Lodge only commence on June 24, 1723, 6 years after the event. For the story of those first 6 years, we are dependent upon an account not written, or at least not published, until the second edition of the Constitutions in 1738, 21 years after, the event to which it refers. Surely, no other movement of equal importance ever left so scantly a record made so long after the fact. Why no minutes were kept, or, if kept at all, were lost, we do not know. Still, less do we know why the first Grand Lodge was formed without a constitution. The general regulations did not appear until 1721, and the constitutions in 1723. The impression is unmistakable that it was only an experiment in response to a growing need of a center of union and harmony, and that those who took part in it did not dream that they were launching a movement destined to cover the earth with a great fraternal fellowship. Four lodges united to form the Mother Grand Lodge. Those that met, 1. At the Goose and Gridiron Ale House in St. Paul's Churchyard, 2 at the Crown Ale House in Parker's Line near Drury Lane, 3 at the Apple Tree Tavern in Charles Street, Covent Garden, and 4 at the Rumour and Grape Tavern in Channel Row, Westminster. In those days, as in our own day in London, lodges met in taverns and ale houses, the hotels of the time. Their meetings were festive and often convivial, and in the manner and custom of the day. A rare old book called the Multa Paucis asserts that 6 lodges, not 4, were represented, but there is no record of the fact, though members of other lodges were no doubt present as guests. Indeed, we have a hint to that effect in the meager record as follows, quote, "They, the 4 lodges, and some other old brothers, met at the said apple tree, and having put into their chair the oldest master mason, now the master of the lodge, they constituted themselves a grand lodge pro temp, in due form, and forthwith revived the quarterly communication of the officers of lodges, called the Grand Lodge, resolved to hold the annual assembly and feast, and then choose a grand master from among themselves, till they should have the honor of a noble brother at their head." End quote. Such is the record of the preliminary meeting. What would we not give for a full account of its discussion and proceedings? Diligent search has been made among the records, diaries, and papers of the time, but few facts have been added to the record. Even the date of the meeting is omitted, but it must have been in the spring or early summer of 1717, as the meeting at which the Grand Lodge was actually organized took place shortly afterward, in June of that year, and was held in the Goose and Gridiron Ale House in St. Paul's Churchyard, near the west end of the cathedral. The old ale house had a long story, being one of the most famous in the city, whereof we may read in London Inns and Taverns by Leopold Wagner. Before the Great Fire, it had been called the Mitre, the first music house in London, and the meeting place of the company of musicians, its sign being a swan and a lyre. Its master had gathered many trophies of travel, which he displayed, and which are said to have formed the nucleus of the Britain Museum. After the fire, it was rebuilt on the same site, but the new sign was so badly made that the wits of the old town called it the Goose and Gridiron, and the name clung to it. The record goes on, quote, "Accordingly, on St. John the Baptist Day, the 3rd year of King George the 1st, A.D. 1717, the assembly and feast of the free and accepted masons was held at the foresaid Goose and Gridiron Ale House. Before dinner, the oldest master mason, now the master of the lodge, in the chair proposed a list of proper candidates, and the brethren, by a majority of hands, elected Mr. Anthony Sayer, gentleman, Grand Master of Masons, Mr. Jacob Lamball, carpenter, Captain Joseph Elliott, Grand Wardens, who, being forthwith invested with the badges of office and power by said oldest master and installed, was duly congratulated by the assembly, who paid him the homage. Sayer, Grand Master, commanded the masters and wardens of lodges to meet the grand officers every quarter in communication at the place that he should appoint in the summons sent by the tyler." End quote. So reads the only record that has come down to us of the founding of the Mother Grand Lodge. Who were present, besides the 3 officers named, has so far eluded all research. Their faces have faded. Their names are lost. But imagine the scene. The big room extended the width of the house, 30 feet one way and nearly 20 the other. In the other was an oak table, around which the delegates from the various lodges sat on chairs, smoking their pipes. The seat of Anthony Sayer was before the fireplace, with its polished brass fire irons, with chestnut roasters and bed warmers hanging on either side of it. It was an hour of feast and fun and fellowship, as they sat down to dinner together, as English lodges do today. Each man had a large cup of foaming ale before him on the table, and, as he drained it, betimes it was refilled by a handsome maid, Hannah, whose name has survived long after the others were lost. Only a few memories live of that event which divided the story of masonry into before and after. The famous sign in the front of the house, so ugly that a swan and lyre were mistaken for a goose and gridiron. The skittle ground on the roof, the small watercourse, a rivulet of Fleet Brook, for which a way had to be made through the chimney, the pillar that propped up the chimney, and Hannah, the maid. How strange that the Masons of England allowed the old alehouse to be taken down in 1893. It ought to have been kept as a shrine of fellowship and fun, but so little interest was taken in its fate that the historic sign was sold to a citizen of Dulwich, who put it in his greenhouse. Later on, however, the old relic was recovered, and it now has a place of honor in the Guildhall Museum, along with other tokens of London that is no more. Alas, so little do men see, and so lightly do they value what is passing before their eyes. What of the men who formed the Mother Grand Lodge? They did not, could not, realize that they had done so casually in the spirit of frolic, much less foreknow its meaning in future. They merely wanted to make a center of union and harmony, as they called it, between the lodges of the city. There was no thought of imposing the authority of a Grand Lodge upon the country in general, still less upon the world, as is clear from the constitutions of 1723, which are said to be, quote-unquote, for the use of lodges in London. Yet so great was the necessity for a Grand Lodge that, once started, the impulses spread to Ireland, Scotland, and the ends of the earth. Link was added to link, until it put, quote-unquote, a girdle around the earth. As a great man of the craft has said so picturesquely, it is possible, and it is true, to say that Masonry was born in a tavern, but it belongs to Almighty God, and so gentle was its spirit, so friendly and tolerant and wise withal, that it began to make the life of the tavern like a vestibule for the life of the church. All right, that's it this week. I hope you guys enjoyed the program. A little bit of history on Grand Lodge, a little bit of news about Illinois Grand Lodge, all that good stuff. If you guys like podcasts, please feel free to check out the Masonic Roundtable, which goes live starting in just a few weeks. We're going to start on Thursdays, and instead of at 10, we're going to go on at 9:30 Eastern. So that's 8:30 Central. So we have a little change there. Make sure you follow us on Facebook to keep up with those changes. And likewise, find WCY Podcast on Facebook as well. Interact with us there. I try to answer all of the comments and things, you know, when they are directed at me or the show. And just huge thanks to everybody out there who listens to the show. You're all a tremendous inspiration. So until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.